In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
I invite you to kneel as you're able or remain standing. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand.
Thank you.
O Lord, you fulfilled your promise to Mary, that she would conceive in her womb and bear the Son of the Most High. Grant that we would hold fast to all your promises in certain confidence of your faithfulness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you, that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament epistle is from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Sometimes I think we feel heartbroken. Sometimes we feel hurt. Questions of how can I ever trust another person can creep into our mind. Or even worse, sometimes we have been the ones who have broken a promise. You have every intention to keep that promise, and bam, something happens and you fail at keeping your word. And then you just feel horrible because you let that person down. That was never part of your intentions. I don't know what is worse, being on the end of a broken promise or being the one who breaks a promise. Neither of those feel good. And sometimes a promise a person makes just sounds so impossible to keep that there's no way they could keep that promise. And we see that, to me, in our gospel reading today. When Gabriel appears before Mary, promising her about the child that she will have. And he gives pretty lofty expectations for this child when he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Talk about some high expectations for the baby in Mary's womb. It's understandable that Mary begins asking, "Well, how can this be? I'm still just a virgin." We all know that this promise of a baby was fulfilled. And later on today, we'll be celebrating that fulfillment as we celebrate the Christmas Eve service, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But before we get to there, we need to dive a little bit into this text for today, this morning. And the first is that question that Mary asks of, "Well, how can this be?" And maybe some people might say, well, Mary is doubting the angel Gabriel. But it's not necessarily doubt that's causing her to say how, but it's more of a wondering in faith of how could this be. But could you really blame Mary if she doubted this crazy claim by Gabriel? In this day and age, we have all witnessed and experienced many broken promises wherein we become jaded to others when they make promises. Maybe that's even happened in your faith life, in that life of faith with God. You feel maybe God isn't all that he's cracked up to be, and he just makes empty promises, and he doesn't keep them. I mean, doesn't God promise that he wants us to be happy? Doesn't God promise that everything we want in this world we'll receive? And of course, he says that because we are Christians, we won't have to suffer. Those all sound like pretty good promises from God. But what happens when a train crashes off the rails and comes crashing down to the street? Or maybe you're going through that first Christmas without a loved one. Or just life doesn't seem to be fair. Does that mean that God has broken his promise to you to be happy, to give you all that you want, or that you'll be no suffering? Of course not, because God doesn't promise all those things. Those are promises of the world, that God wants you to be happy. Yes, God does, but he doesn't promise that everything will be perfect in our life, that we'll receive everything, and far from it, that we'll have no suffering. In fact, throughout Scripture, we read about how we will have to suffer for our faith, that we'll have to pick up our cross and carry that. That's some of the promises. But there's more promises that God gives to us in Scripture. And the most important is that he was going to send a Savior. In Genesis 3:15, God said the following, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." From the time sin entered the world, God promised to send a Savior. And you can only imagine if you were living in the Old Testament times, knowing and hearing about this promise that God made and saying, "When's he going to send the Savior? You said you were going to, but I haven't seen him. That was years ago. Why are we still waiting?" You can only imagine the doubt that they might have had and wondering, is God really going to send the Savior he talked about? And finally,
thousands of years later. After that initial promise, God was putting that promise into action. In our gospel reading for today, Mary receives that news that she is going to be the bearer of the Savior of the world. This is the fulfillment of the promise of a Savior. And it gives to you and me that assurance that God is faithful to his promises, that we can always trust him. We would be here all day and all night and then some if we would go through Scripture and name every single promise that God has given to us. But also, when you look through Scripture, you see those promises and you see how God has always been faithful to every single one of those promises. Scripture tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those whom he loves and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations." To me, that verse is important because it reminds us that we aren't to grow weary when it feels like God isn't being faithful to his promises, but we can gain strength, comfort, and peace in knowing that God has a steadfast love for each one of us and that he is always faithful to his word. And after this promise being told and Mary saying, "Well, how can this happen?" Gabriel explains how it is possible. And then he concludes by saying, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And what a powerful statement that is about God, that nothing is impossible for him. And maybe that's something we glance over from time to time because we hear, yeah, we know God is all-powerful. We know that big, fancy church word, omnipotent, meaning God is powerful. But sometimes in our lives, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like God is overmatched and he is the one losing the battle. But that is far from the truth. God isn't losing the battle. Gabriel tells us that nothing is impossible with God. Does that mean that everything we want is going to happen? All the things that we think we can do with God's going to happen? Of course not. That doesn't mean that I could go into the gym right now and just take a basketball and dunk it on the hoop. That would never happen unless there's a ladder involved or the rims get lowered. That wouldn't happen. But does that mean that it's not possible because God doesn't care? What it means is that when God doesn't do something we want, it means that it doesn't mean that it's too much for him to handle. It's just that he has a different plan for us. But rest assured, there is nothing in this world that is more powerful than God. All things are possible with him. Our gospel reading proves that. There we read about Mary, a virgin who was able to conceive a child. And it was no ordinary child. He would be the Savior of the world. And Gabriel talks to Mary about how her cousin Elizabeth, who they said was old and barren, was also with child. It was because of God those things were able to happen. And Mary's response to this news is a perfect example for us as believers to follow. She tells Gabriel, "Behold, I am your servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." It's in Mary's response we see her humble submission to God's plan. She was willing to accept God's plan for her, despite not knowing what is ahead of her. And that's a lot easier said than done. We like to have a roadmap of where we're going or where our decisions are going to lead us. Mary didn't quite have that roadmap and fully understand. But what she did know is that she could trust God. And that's exactly what she did. She put her faith in God. And that same attitude that Mary displayed is a great example of how we are called to live our lives, trusting in God and his promises and his plans for us. And we have no reason to doubt those plans because He is all-powerful and He is always there for us. God has promised us that He will never leave us. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." God is faithful to His promises. No matter what is going on in your life, lean upon the truth that God's steadfast love is there and His faithfulness is there. And there we see in our reading a simple visit from an angel that starts the fulfillment of that promise of a Savior. A promise that was ultimately fulfilled months later when Jesus was born. That reminder, God is faithful to His promises. And more I think about that, the more I realize that is what we need in this world. Because as I talked about earlier, we all have been hurt by broken promises. But that is not the case with God. He is faithful. And what a joy it is to know that He is faithful. And most importantly, He is faithful in fulfilling His promises and fulfilling that promise of sending a Savior. Because if He broke that promise, we would be in a whole lot of trouble. Because on our own, we can't pay the debt of our sins. But He loved us, and He was faithful, and sent a Savior into the world so that we could be forgiven and look forward to eternal life when we ask and we go humbly to Him, saying, "God, I have sinned. Please forgive me." And instead of focusing on the broken promises of this world, we can focus on the promise that God has kept. And as we go on in our day-to-day lives, it is my prayer that we exhibit the same faith that Mary had, and we say, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Amen.
We stand for our offertory. By the gathering of our offerings and tithes for the mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. Let us come together before our Lord in prayer, asking Him to hear our prayer and to grant us love. Our response today will be, "Hear our prayer and grant us love." Lord of love, during this Advent season, prepare our hearts that we would be made ready to receive your Son as he comes in his incarnation and birth, but also in his body and blood. Make us ever ready for his final coming on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and grant us love.
Lord of love, you have called your church to bear witness to Christ's redeeming work. Grant that we boldly proclaim the good news of the one who brings joy to the world through his life, death, and resurrection, that all who hear it may receive the gift of salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
grant us love.
Lord of love, you have instructed us to pray for workers in your harvest field. Raise up faithful and loving teachers of your word so that Christ may be proclaimed near and far. Make us your instruments to encourage and equip individuals for work in your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and grant us love.
Lord of love, we ask that you stretch forth your almighty arm to protect the men and women who serve in the armed forces of our land. Support them, granting them courage and loyalty. Strengthen them to serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and grant us love.
Lord of love, you are the creator and sustainer of all things. According to your will, grant healing to those who suffer in body and mind. Look with favor upon your servants, especially we pray for Art, Audrey, baby Raylan, Betsy, Dale on his upcoming surgery. We pray for Diane and Don. We also lift up Eb and Evelyn. We ask, Lord, that you would be with John and Katie and Kira, the niece of Bill and Marilyn Harder. We also pray for Marie and Phyllis and Ray. And Lord, look after Roy and Vernette, Walter and Will. And if it is your will, restore them to health or give them grace to accept tribulation, knowing that your grace is sufficient for them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who experience a loss, especially for the family of P. Richard Pearson, who entered heaven on December 10th. And we pray for Yolanda and Herb Hansen, whose nephew has also passed away. However, Lord, we do rejoice in your healing presence. Christ is born the babe, the Son of Mary. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of love, thank you for calling us to be your people through holy baptism. Make us ready to receive your supper as we remember the one who is truly present in this meal, and he comes to us in holy communion. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who share a birthday this week, praying that their happiness for a greater sense of fulfillment in work or play, in an ease of communication with those they love, and a sense of satisfaction in all that they accomplish. Above all, may they rest secure in the knowledge of God's constant love and care for them personally. Today we pray for Megan and Philip, Patricia, for Beth and Jeanette, for William, Emily, Haley, Elizabeth, and Matthew. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and your promise to hear us for the sake of the one whose name we come, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. For you fulfilled your promise of a Savior by sending your Son to be David's greater son, who rules and reigns over all things forever and ever. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Please stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting.
Thanks.
Depart in his peace. Amen. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that your promises have been fulfilled among us today. Give us joy in knowing that the same one who became flesh in the Virgin's womb still comes to us today in his body and blood at this altar. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.